No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Alongside Dave Manouk, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Ezzy Ginsberg, we give him the night off tonight. Dave, the Winnipeg Jets win their fourth in a row, this time going into Los Angeles, into Staples Center, and defeating the Los Angeles Kings by a 3-2 margin. You know, it wasn't always pretty. That second period, there were a lot of warts on it for the Winnipeg Jets game. But the first and the third period, they had the control of the action. They had the control of the game, as you would expect to see, as the Jets are simply a more talented team than the Los Angeles Kings. They maybe got a bit of a wake-up call in that second period, because that second period, they just stopped skating for the most part, allowing the Kings to end up taking the lead after 40 minutes, but they come out strong in the third period. They're pretty dominant third period, I would say, by the Jets, and they end up with that 3-2 victory.
Yeah, I mean, it was another one of those slow starts, relatively speaking. It was kind of, I think, maybe in Anaheim, there was a lot of empty seats. Folks were late arriving at the game. Maybe they thought the game was at a different time. They thought it was an Eastern time game. I'm not certain. But you know what? It eventually got going. It got a little exciting. Pierre-Luc Dubois, what more can you say about him? I mean, he's just had a phenomenal start to this season. He's quickly, getting – and look, you know, we're starting to get closer to that 10-game mark I talked about, where you can start to use that as a barometer as to what, you know, guys are able to do. And Pierre-Luc Dubois, what does he have now, Drew? I mean, six goals, but still, he's got six goals in seven games.
Yeah.
And last year he had eight goals in 41 games.
Hang on. I'm not a math genius. Yeah. We leave that to Ezzy to do the complicated math on that show.
Yeah.
But yeah, that tells me that he's turning into a pretty good player.
Yeah, he is. And you know what? We just put the comment up from Matthew Thompson and you got to give Kyle Connor credit. I mean, Kyle Connor has looked simply phenomenal. I mean, he gets three assists tonight, and he's just working. He's working. He just seems to hit a different level. And maybe it's the understanding, the responsibility that he needed to step up in the absence of, you know, Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler. But Kyle Connor, just his game seems to have gotten to that next level, to me at least, just in terms of the chemistry that they've formed with him and Pierre-Luc Dubois, and on his own, just like some of the things that he's doing with the puck. I thought he had a really strong game again for the Winnipeg Jets. So when you have that duo, you know, really developing, I don't disagree with what people are saying. I don't know how you're going to, you know, get rid of that Connor Dubois. I don't think you can, actually, to be honest.
No, you can't. It's going to kill Paul Maurice, but he can't. He just can't.
Yeah. I mean,
the way they're going right now, there's
no, I don't think you can. And so, anyways, I think it'll just be one of those really interesting, you know, dilemmas for the team. But I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to be something that's going to be, you know, a reality for them anyways for a while. Blake Wheeler skated today. He may play Saturday night in San Jose. We're not sure. And Mark Scheifele, for sure, earliest he plays would be Tuesday against Dallas back home in Winnipeg. So Paul Maurice will have the opportunity to kind of wait on making that decision. But at the end of the day, you know, you had the guys who needed to step up did just that, and they stepped up and did it in a big way. So it wasn't always pretty. The second period, LA really kind of took it to the Jets, especially that early goal. I mean, that was just terrible defense. It was very almost Jets, early Jets, where they all were flying the zone and they're like, oh guys, the puck is still in the zone.
But I mean, you know, I don't have a problem per se with them flying the zone there. I have a problem with them not being strong and careful enough with the puck. I mean, there's no reason why that puck doesn't get out of the zone there.
Right.
I mean, that should
they had control.
They had control by all logic. That should have been an easy clear and an easy transition. So I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with the with the attempt there to get some momentum up the ice. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, I mean, I don't know how many of these we've had now, or not we, but the Jets have had, in these seven games to start the year, where they've had easy clearing opportunities,
right?
Easy breakout opportunities that they haven't been able to execute for whatever reason. This one cost them. Obviously, the puck ended up in the back of the net. It would have been the game-winning goal had it not been for the much better third period by the Winnipeg Jets. But it's right. Just the, you know, they're getting better. And we talked about it, you know, I guess it would have been last week or maybe 2 weeks ago now almost. The attention to detail hasn't yet been there, and it's improving. It's not perfect, but it's improving. And you saw better attention to detail, I would say, in the first and the third periods of tonight's game.
Yeah, there was a line change that led to a penalty. And I think it was when, was it the Morrissey or DeMello, whatever, but in the second period, it was one of the, you know, it was a bad line change. The Jets, you know, gave up an odd man rush and it just didn't look, I think it was DeMello's penalty. And they weren't thinking. So yeah, the second period wasn't a great period by any stretch of the imagination for the Jets. And you're right. They tightened it up and they got back into it. And Nathan Beaulieu, who was playing in his 400th game, he said in the intermission to Dennis, you know, they weren't happy with their period and they were going to come out and play better. And that's what they did in the third period. Yeah, and, you know, without Doughty and with a young team, again, the Kings have one of the most highly valued prospect pools in the NHL. And you can see those guys are slowly coming up, but you know, I mean, it's a very young team still, and there's some growing pains they're going to continue to go through. So
yeah, I mean, you have to, you know, to your point about the youth of the Kings and their depleted defense. I mean, you're without your top two right side defensemen in Drew Doughty, who's out for 2 months, and Sean Walker, who's out for the rest of the season. So the Jets have to take advantage of that kind of team. You have to take advantage against an LA Kings team that doesn't have as much talent as you do. And the Jets, of course, we know who's missing from their lineup with Shifley and with Wheeler. That being said, the Jets still had more talent than the Kings did, and that's why they get full marks for the 3-2 victory.
Right.
A lot of, you know, you don't love that second period, and you mentioned that Nate Beaulieu, when talking to Dennis, said that they didn't love that second period. And I think a positive sign to take from that is they knew that they were lousy in that second period, and they went out and they changed it. They flipped that switch. You don't want to have to flip that switch. You want to have a more consistent 60 minutes throughout the course of the game. But they were able to flip it, and they were able to control it. And what's, I think, equally as impressive to me is after they took the lead, after the Jets took the lead, let me see exactly what time in the game that was. That was, you know, 7:35 into the third period when Dubois got his second. Really, they did a very admirable job from that point on in shutting down the LA Kings. The Kings, I think, at that from the 8 minute mark till the end of the game, did not have what I would describe as any high danger chances that I can think of off the top of my head. They had some zone time against the Jets, but really, you look at how the Jets handled the empty net opportunity when the Kings had the extra man on the ice. No panic in their own zone, no chaos. They made it very difficult for the Kings to even access the zone and gain control of the puck. And that is what better teams do to their opponents.
Yeah,
and that's what the Jets did. And so, I mean, that to me, the win is impressive. But the way they were able to shut it down, which isn't a team known for being able to do that, the way they were able to shut it down at the tail end in the last half of the third period was quite impressive to me.
For sure. And I just want to get to AJ. AJ bought a couple of shirts on Tuesday's show, and he went back to the IC merch store and he got a new era hat. So thanks, AJ. We don't know what color he got, but remember, the IC locker room is available. You can go on illegalcurve.com. You can see the banner right there scrolling along. But if you want a link, it's on the illegalcurve.com website under merch. And there's a link right there. Or you can just go to IC the locker room at logo shoppers.
It's iclockerroom.logoshop.com.
Yeah, logoshop.com. So, if you guys need any gear, that'd be awesome. And, you know, it's we're 10 minutes into the broadcast room. We haven't even mentioned Eric Comrie.
Well, and we got to talk about him. I mean, we have a soft spot for Eric Comrie. Admittedly.
We do. It's funny, actually, when Dennis said on the broadcast, he goes, you know, when you're in the media, you don't hope for players. And I was like, well, that's true. You don't. But I mean, I only hope because I think I've got I'm invested in Comrie simply because I've backed him to so many people who have said to me, he's not an NHL goalie. He's not an NHL goalie. He's not an NHL goalie. And I'm like, I think he can handle this. I really do. I think he's capable of playing in the NHL. I think when you removed the idea that he was playing behind, you know, the Steve Masons, the Chris Masons, the Al Montoya,
the Mason Appletons.
No, but I mean, like he was always, he never had that certainty. And even when we spoke to him, this summer and we said, well, you know, you've got that. He said, well, you know, I've still got to try and earn that job. He wasn't going to take anything and let it be handed to him. So good for him. I mean, it's the amazing thing is he got a win last year for New Jersey in the one game he played for them, but he hasn't had a win for the Winnipeg Jets since March 2nd, 2018, which coincidentally also came against the LA Kings. So for a kid who was born in Edmonton, raised in California, probably appropriate that he does well against the LA Kings. And I thought he had a really good game. I thought he was solid. I thought he played a very sound hockey game. And, you know, Paul Maurice, the guys all talked about it. Josh Morrissey, if you didn't hear the comments, he spoke about it in the pregame about how much, you know, a guy like Eric Comrie means to them and how important it is for them to get that win for him. And the truth is, they didn't look like it. I was actually going to joke in the second period because in the morning papers today I wrote, you know, there's a lot of consternation amongst Jets fans that Eric Comrie won't be up to the task. And I don't think with a revamped defense and Eric Comrie having the confidence both of himself and of the team, that should be an issue. Well, it looked like I was 50% right. Comrie looked good with the confidence and you know, in himself and in his game. The defense wasn't looking so good with the way they were giving up chances. But, I mean, that's one of the things we saw LA is capable of, right? I think the stat is they have the most shots in the league right now. So
that was what, you know, what Paul Maurice said in the pregame interview with Dennis. And I was like, really?
Well, and it's kind of funny. Like, I don't know if you saw, there was a quote from Dave Tippett with the Oilers King talking about Fenske and Korski and talking about the quality of shots. And that is something obviously you have to factor in whether these are high danger, whether they're grade A. I mean, that obviously is a big factor. But like I said, you know, all you can do is have your goaltender make some key save. I actually thought in the second period, he made kind of a pure instinct save on that quick, you know, no-look two-on-one.
Was that the toe save?
Yeah. No, not the toe save. When he went across, it was the second period save.
Oh,
toe save,
I think, was in the third. Back and forth after the two-on-one. They traded chances at both ends.
That's right. And I think, you know, that showed to me like that confidence of Eric Comrie positionally to be that he looked calm in the net. So again, I'm no goalie expert by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm not going to pretend like I am one, but I just thought he looked like he's done so many often for the Manitoba Moose, which was, you know, be a guy that can be relied upon.
He did what he needed. He did what the Winnipeg Jets and any team in the NHL need a backup goaltender to do. Backup goaltenders come in, they play. Yeah, especially when you have, you know, superstar goaltenders like Hauebuck or Vasilevsky or you know, the goaltenders of that ilk, they come in and they play an odd game here and an odd game there and an odd game here and an That's odd right. game there. And they come in and they still are able to perform at a level that gives their team a chance to win. Now, and they usually get, you know, opportunities against softer teams. That is just strictly how it works. That's why that's the role of the backup goaltender.
That's right.
Is you get the second half of a back-to-back. You get an odd start against a team that is not considered to be very good. And that's what the LA Kings are. That's why you knew that, you know, if everything had worked out the way the Jets wanted it to, and it did, this could have been a start for Comrie. He has experience playing in LA. He has experience playing against the Kings. To your point, Dave, he is, you know, born in Alberta, but he's lived and grown up. And when we talked to him this summer back on the free agency show, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's what it was.
It might have been. Yeah. I think he had just signed his deal, right?
That's right. He had just signed his deal. So the free agency show that we did, he was in California. So this is a good opportunity for him in a comfortable situation. It's fortuitous.
He practices there.
Yeah. It's fortuitous that it's not a back-to-back situation, because the Jets haven't had a back-to-back until next Friday, Saturday. But, you know, it just everything about it made good sense. He did what he needed to do. And I think for a large look, do I believe the Winnipeg Jets will be in good enough hands if Connor Hellebuyck goes down with an injury of some sort, as I saw somebody said in the chat or people have been talking about? Frankly, no. But I don't think the vast majority of backup goaltenders can't step into a number one role, because that's why they're backup goaltenders. If they were number one goaltenders, they'd be number one goaltenders. That's so right. You can't always plan for every possible scenario, but Eric Comrie should give a sense of comfort to all those who said there's no chance, he can't do it, it's impossible. Well, it's clearly not impossible. He did it tonight. And he'll probably get another opportunity, be it next Friday at home against the Blackhawks or next Saturday at home against the Islanders. Mm-hmm. And he'll probably get another opportunity to show that he can do it again. But this Winnipeg Jets team, no one's disputing the fact that this Winnipeg Jets team is going to live or die based on Connor Hellebuyck being their goaltender.
No. And look, they do that in Tampa with Vasilevsky. And there's some teams that have the ability to who can afford it, right? Like, Jake Allen, for example, taking over for Carey Price. When Price had the concussion at the end of last season, which actually probably kept him, you know, when we've talked to various goaltenders on our show, like they would always say that probably was a benefit to Price because he came into the playoffs as fresh as he did. And Allen was more than capable of standing in and playing well for him, having been the number one, obviously, previously in his career. So, you know, and you'll never know, and you don't know until you get a chance to see, right? Like, think about it. These are the same people who said Eric Comrie wasn't capable of playing as a backup, and now he plays. And again, look, one game doesn't make like a career, so he's going to have to repeat it. And like you said, he'll most likely get that chance against the Islanders or the Hawks. Blackhawks. Most likely the Islanders, you would think, because, you know, they're going to probably give – I would think.
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and it's one we'll probably talk about more on Saturday's show. You know, it's interesting because obviously the Blackhawks are the weaker of the two opponents.
By the way, I got to quickly interject. Alan, let me tell you, the way Mikael Burden is playing right now, he's not back. Eric Comrie's not backing up Mikael Burden. it's not happening. Like, Mikael Burden is okay, and he's developing in the AHL, but for all the folks who, you know, there's a lot of times people, and I'm not trying to call out Alan here, but I just think it's important to note, sometimes people like what you don't see, the unknown.
The backup goaltender phenomenon. The backup quarterback phenomenon.
Mikael Burden didn't have a good season last year. He was okay. He wasn't great. And I think that he's going to, you know, be pushed. Actually, I think Arvid Holm had a pretty good game last weekend. And so Mikael Burden isn't ready to take anything just yet. He's got some stuff to work in his game, I would say.
You know, it's funny. You look at tonight's game and you talk about Jake Allen, you talk about Carey Price. You can make an argument that, I mean, it's not necessarily directly on point, but you can certainly you can put the pieces together that a guy who played in tonight's game for the LA Kings, Philip Deneau, mm-hmm. You know, the reason why the Montreal Canadiens couldn't re-sign Philip Deneau, not the sole reason, but it's certainly a factor, is that they chose to allocate extra money to their backup goaltender in the form of Jake Allen. Right. So, you know, the Winnipeg Jets, I mean, we know what their salary cap situation is. We've talked about it ad nauseum. We know that there's a reason why they're only playing with 11 forwards and
yeah, because defensemen. It's a winning formula, apparently.
Well, apparently it's a winning formula, four in a row, but it's also because, and they only had the money to be able to afford a backup goaltender for $750,000. Shout out to my cousin, Jeff Stern, and my cousins, Bonnie, Maxine, and Rick, driving home from the Staples Center where they were in person, watching the Jets win tonight by a 3-2 margin, and now they're listening to us in the car live on YouTube as well. So that's what I call
and they're going to be getting credit for their photography, who's going to be on illegalcurve.com and on our Instagram. So thank you to the Stern family.
There you go. Exactly right. My relative's coming up big in California during tonight's contest. The Jets victorious by that 3-2 margin over the Los Angeles Kings. Four wins in a row for the Winnipeg Jets. They've won the first two games of their road trip, and they head into San Jose on Saturday night to see if they can make it a clean sweep before heading home for their seven-game homestand starting Tuesday against the Dallas Stars. You know, Dave, it's this was more akin to the Winnipeg Jets you thought you would see in this opening month. We knew that this opening month was not an especially difficult opening month, that their opponents were on the weaker side of things. And we know that the Jets certainly didn't get off to a good start with that 0-2-1 first three-game road trip. Things are now starting to roll for this team. They're playing with a lot more confidence. They're trailing in games, and they're getting back into those games and winning those games. That's two games in a row now. And you never want to necessarily be trailing entering the third period, but that's two games in a row now where they've had deficits in the third period, and they've been able to win in regulation. That to me is a sign of a good hockey team. That to me is a sign of a team that we expected to be one of the better teams in the Central Division. The Minnesota Wild losers tonight in Seattle. The Jets, I believe, only now a point behind the Wild, and they're inching closer to the St. Louis Blues as well. So the Jets are getting back in the flow of things and are certainly putting their early struggles. Now, it's only been seven games, so of course, everything I'm saying here, a bit of a grain of salt. They're putting those first three games a little bit behind them, similar to a few years ago when they started on the road with that bad road trip through New York and the Long Island and New Jersey. They won the Jersey game, and then they went to Pittsburgh, and they won that.
But they were down 4-0.
Yeah, exactly. So beginning to see, as I hit my microphone there, beginning to see a better Winnipeg Jets team looking more like the Winnipeg Jets team we thought we would see this season.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I think it's you know, the schedule worked out quite well. I mean, it's very unusual, right? The idea that they had to go back to California a second time. I mean, if you're the Jets, it's still pretty balmy. I was wearing shorts in Winnipeg today, so I don't know that it's necessarily you want to be going to California. Yeah, I mean,
what was the temperature in River Heights? Because it certainly wasn't that warm.
Well, I was also in Elmwood, so I mean, it changes.
Everything's warmer in Elmwood.
Everything's warmer in Elmwood. So, yeah. No, I mean, I don't know that I'd be running for a second California road trip this early in the season, but I definitely think that the schedule was favorable, and they've gotten lucky, and they've had to deal with some, you know, early season adversity through the the COVID situation to Wheeler and Shifley, but they've handled it. I think that's kind of like the biggest thing, right? Like, so you've kind of had a perfect storm, if you will, because one, you've had guys step up. So Pierre-Luc Dubois, Andrew Kopp, Kyle Connor, like those guys have been ridiculous, right? So you've had those guys step up, and the defense has, you know, played okay. And then you got Connor Hellebuyck back to looking like who Connor Hellebuyck is for the most part, right? So you kind of have this perfect storm of the schedule's paced out. You didn't have any back-to-backs early. You really are getting chance to practice, to rest, you know, play games every second night. You know, it's not a heavy travel, you know, you're in California, so you're really just, you're in Anaheim and LA, that's easy enough. So there's no real difficulty there. So I think, and again, like I said, I think a little bit of early season adversity, you know, it isn't a bad thing. So the team starts off the way they did with the, you know, 0-2-1 start. And then since then, they've won four straight, right? So, T-Will, I do own pants. I just choose not to wear them until till the weather dictates that I need to wear pants.
I'll tell you what, let me jump in there for a second. T-Will, with that comment, that is the tough duck, hardest hitting comment of tonight's post-game show. You've won a prize from our good friend and sponsor of the show, Tough Duck. So T-Will, send an email to yours truly, drew@illegalcurve.com, or send me a message on Twitter, @ICDrew, and we'll get you hooked up with your prize from Tough Duck. So there you go. It happens just like that. You never know when we're going to dish out a prize here on the Illegal Curve post game show. I think I saw somebody else say something about bagels. Well, stay tuned. You never know. Boom. You might have a six-pack of bagels from our friends at Bagelsmith in your hands before you know it. So that's why you tune in to the Illegal Curve post-game show. You know, some other shows have a format, or some other shows have are organized. We don't believe in any of that. We got to keep things moving. We're moving and grooving here. You never know when we're going to dive in with a prize. So that's why you tune in and you stick with us here at the Illegal Curve post-game show. So congratulations to you, T-Will. You've won.
Troy, don't get used to it.
At Tough Duck.
Troy said, "Is Drew's rewarding us for slagging Dave?" But remember, Troy, I have four Moose tickets, technically five, actually, because the person who won the Saturday game against the Iowa Wild only needed three. So if there's one person in the chat who wants to go by themselves to the Moose game, or I could transfer you the ticket and see if that you could see if the ticket on the other side of you is available. I've got one ticket for the Saturday game. I've got four to the Sunday game, which I'm starting to think instead of giving away four, I may have to start going two and two. But if you want if anybody wants a single ticket, email me at dave@illegalcurve.com or send me a message on Twitter.
It's called Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter. Well, I was going to say Twitter, Instagram, whatever, at IC Dave.
It's Facebook that changed their name. Twitter's still Twitter.
Yeah. That's right. Meta. Send me something on Meta. And I've got the four tickets. So
Meta I know about is the cannabis one.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want to go to the Moose game on Sunday, 2 o'clock start, let's get some names out there and I'll see what I can do. And I'll pick a winner by the end of the show.
There you go. So Dave is going to give away some Moose tickets. T. Will's already won his Tough Duck toque, and maybe we'll have some bagels to give away as well. It's amazing what you do at 12:25 in the morning. Good Thursday morning. No, it's now Friday morning, right? A good Friday morning to everybody here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're talking about the Winnipeg Jets defeating the Los Angeles Kings by a 3-2 margin. You know what, Dave? As it's becoming clearer that the 11-7 is coming to an end, and it's quickly coming to an end. If it's not Saturday, then it's going to certainly be Tuesday when the Jets return to Winnipeg. I'm impressed at the fact that the Jets have been able to keep their head above water, and more than that, even thrive playing this 11-7, because it is not something I expected. I thought this 11-7, especially after the first game where they did it, where if I recall correctly, that first game they had 11-7. Nate Beaulieu only played 4 minutes or something like that. I think that was the game against Minnesota, that ridiculous 6-5, if that was the score, if I'm not mistaken, defeat. Ever since then, they've been able to work this 11-7 a lot better. And I'll give credit to Paul Maurice for that. You know, he's been able to roll the lines. I mean, Beaulieu didn't play a lot tonight. He only played 4 minutes tonight, but he's been able to, you know, throughout the course of this 11-7 experiment or obligation, for lack of a better term, they've been able to do better than and handle it better than I expected them to.
Yeah, you're right, Drew. And it's funny because if I recall correctly, I'm loath to do this, especially after you just if you just slagged me and were rewarding people for slagging me. But if I recall correctly, I'm pretty sure you were on the 11-7 bandwagon last year, where you thought that would be an option for the Jets for...
You know, I think what we did, if I recall correctly, this was back in before the season started last year. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay was using it a lot, using it a lot. And I think I brought it up as an option for the Jets. And I don't think... The only other time I really remember the Jets doing 11-7, Adam Partey was like the extra defenseman.
Partey Dangle.
Yeah, and it didn't work. And every other time that I've, you know, it hadn't worked and I didn't like the idea, and I'm certain the Jets wouldn't do it unless, you know, their hand was forced, as it's been over the past, you know, 4 or 5 games. But, you know, for whatever reason with this group, this 11-7 seems to have worked out better than I thought it was going to be. And that is a testament to the players. It's a testament to the coaching staff, and it's a testament to the players that they haven't let the potential confusion or the awkwardness of it become a hindrance to their success.
Yeah, no, like I said, I think the stepping up of certain players, Kyle Connor, Andrew Kopp, PLD, those are the three really obvious ones who have stepped up their games in a significant way. I think Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press had the number. I think it was like 31 points in the last, you know, whatever his tweet was. It was a ridiculous figure based on what, you know, those guys are producing. So I mean, when you're getting contributions from those guys in ways, Kyle Connor always produces, but like I said, he just seems to have recognized what's, you know, missing from this Jets team currently.
Kyle Connor has 13 points already.
I know. I mean, it's crazy.
I know it's Winnipeg, and I know he was the first star in the NHL last week, but Kyle Connor has, I need to repeat it because it's crazy. It's Kyle Connor, a guy who, you know, not a one-trick pony, but, you know, you could certainly, you know, to some extent make that argument, or if you wanted to level that as a criticism, you could. But he's got 13 points, so, you know, he has beyond stepped up because he's got it on. I mean, what did he have tonight? He had three assists tonight, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, so the guy who's not typically known as a playmaker, or not a guy who's usually, you know, walking around handing out assists left, right, and center, is finding a new dynamic and a new dimension to his game at a time that the Jets needed it as badly as they've ever needed it since he's been a member of this team.
You know, it's funny, like, that's such a misnomer with Kyle Connor. Because,
right, of course.
No, because if you look at his stats, he has 137 goals, and I think he has now 130 assists. So it's funny, for years I've always said he's even Steven. He usually finishes like, you know, 30-30 or 40, like that's kind of where he is. So you're right though, Drew, people don't necessarily associate him as a playmaker because he's got such a lethal shot, but he's almost doing, I mean, I hate to admit it, but I watched almost every game he played for Michigan, and it's kind of like what he did there. Like he was at will with him. And that's kind of like the NHL has almost come down to that for Kyle Connor. And he's elevated his game, I think. And he talked about it I don't remember which availability. It was one of the recent ones. And he just said, I've had a great summer and I felt really good coming into camp this year. And I just think, like, it's funny because you don't expect it, right? You're just like, okay, he's going to be what he does, which is put up, you know, a ton of goals, ton of assists. But like, it just seems, to your point, that it's more this year, and at least from my perspective. So yeah, he seems to have turned. I mean, it's ironic, right? That was the year he should have won the Hobie Baker. It was like, I was shocked. All I could think about was like, how did this kid not win the Hobie Baker?
Well, like, because the Hobie Baker committee refuses to give it to freshmen. It's an award for the best junior or senior university player.
Well, he was ridiculous that year and at Michigan. And I just remember thinking to myself, oh, T. Will's gone. He's leaving on a high note. Yeah.
He's Costanzing the rest of the show.
All right. I'm out. I'm done. But anyway, so Kyle Connor's always been a player that Jets fans have been able to rely on. The team has been able to rely on. He's elevated it, but I don't think it's too early to state how important what Pierre-Luc Dubois has done, both for the team, but also for Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Sure.
Because, I mean, no player had more pressure on him coming into this season than what Pierre-Luc Dubois had to deal with getting traded for Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic. So right then and there, you've got to deal with the enormity of getting traded for, you know, a player that Jets fans, you know, saw as the next Alex Ovechkin, right or wrong. That was what folks saw in Patrick Laine. And so you had that and you had him traded. And so, you know, and then obviously with everything, I'm not going to go through the list, but the reality was there was a lot that went on last year that he had to deal with. And so that became the question mark. And again, I don't think I'm any genius for saying this, but I felt like if he had a good summer and a good training camp with the team, I was expecting him to revert closer to the player that you had seen in Columbus, not necessarily the player we saw last year in Winnipeg. And look at what he's done. I mean, he's just, again, and I'm not like, you don't forget, like he made two boneheaded passes last game that ended up as goals. So I'm not saying his game is flawless and it's perfect, but I'm saying that he looks much more engaged. He looks terrific with Kyle Connor. I mean, like I said, I just don't see how, and Paul Maurice, he's said it a couple of times. He's like, well, I've learned some things. I've discovered some things that we can use at any point, i.e. that this is a relationship he can now rely upon. But I mean, again, if I'm Paul Maurice, you know, and superstitious coaches are, but so will he break that up based on how well it's going? I just don't see it. And you know, especially based on the fact that even if they use Blake Wheeler in the game against San Jose on Saturday night, they're not going to use him in a role that's significant, I don't think.
I think you would want to. I mean, they shouldn't use him in a role that's significant twofold. One, he's been surpassed on the depth chart, and you can see it just strictly by watching these games. He, you know, power play and third line. I mean, the argument is hard to keep up that Blake Wheeler belongs any higher in your lineup at this point in time. And that's just, I would say, the reality of it. And we don't need to we'll get into deeper on that on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m. Tomorrow, as the case may be, considering it's now 12:30 on Friday morning.
Exactly.
But, you know, if he plays on Saturday, I agree. I expect them to ease him into a third line role or something along those lines, just to, you know, because get his legs underneath him and try and give him easier minutes than the minutes that, you know, you would get by jumping into a first line role. Look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it to some extent. Right now, it ain't broke. Let Dubois and Connor continue to do what they're doing. I mean, Nikolaj Ehlers is still very noticeable out there. Nikolaj Ehlers is still impactful. I mean, Andrew Kopp, what did Andrew Kopp have tonight, if I'm not mistaken? Did he have two assists? He had the goal.
He had a goal.
I didn't have an assist. I thought he had an assist.
No, I think I'm pretty sure Neil Pionk, by the way, has sneakily got up to 8 assists in 7 games for the Jets. And it's very unusual because, like, I saw it when I saw, you know, that was his 7th and his 8th. I was like, where did those come from? Like, it just kind of caught me off guard that he had already gotten up to that number. But that's just
their secondary assists. They don't count anymore. I've been told that's how it works.
Oh, is that the
assists don't count?
Oh, okay. I agree with Ryan Dredger. Let's take a pause for a second. Get those likes up, folks. Come on. Yeah. Somehow we got 3 dislikes. So that's obviously 3 people in LA that was me. Sorry, 2 people. Drew's also one of the dislikes for sure.
That was me.
Drew's a bit of a masochist, so he's probably the reason why. But yeah, Kenny's water bottle is right. Ezzy is a healthy scratch. The show believes Dave. Sorry, put that one up, Drew. Ezzy is a healthy scratch pending a trade. This show believes that Dave's fireplace is more than a capable replacement. That is true.
Kenny. Hang on. Boom. Bagels. Kenny's water bottle gets bagels for that comment.
I like it.
So Kenny, send me a note.
What happens if it actually was Ken Weeb?
I assume it is. It's not. I just assume it is Weber. It's not. Happy birthday, Ken Weeb.
Yeah, happy birthday, Weber.
Kenny, send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com.
Sorry, Ryan. Dregger.
Or tweet at me @ICDrew. We'll hook you up with your bagels from our friends at Bagelsmith. So that, just like I said, boom, just like that. I'm giving out prizes left, right, and center. You never know what you're going to get here on the program. But go back to let me put Ryan's comment back up there. There you go, David.
Yeah, so let's make sure you help us out with that algorithm, folks. Give those likes, drop those likes on the old program, especially because, you know, Drew and I take some pleasure when we get it up higher than when if Ez is on the show, you know, and then we can tell Ezzy. The folks were still happy with us. They gave us some love. So listen to Ryan. Smash that like button and make sure you ring the bell. And if you're a subscriber, make sure you're subscribing because that also helps.
Yes, exactly right. So if you haven't yet subscribed,
Rob's out of here. Rob said, "I only came for the bagels." Later, everyone.
That's what I was gonna say. If you haven't yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, be sure to do it. You'll get alerted each and every time we go live, be it after the game with the Illegal Curve post game show or Saturday morning with the Illegal Curve hockey show. On that note, let's take our break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the news of the day, talk about more from the Jets and the Kings, maybe talk about what's upcoming Saturday morning on the IC hockey show. Much more to talk about, much more to come. It's a late night. It's 12:35 in the morning. Stick with us. You're watching, you're listening, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve postgame show. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve postgame show early Friday morning. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk with you. Nice to see so many of you sticking with us on this Friday morning, talking about the Jets and the Los Angeles Kings, the Jets victors by a 3-2 margin. Alas, nobody, come on, people, nobody selected Pierre-Luc Dubois in the IC game-winning goal contest. Seemed like an obvious choice. People missed out on it. That is, remember, #ICGWG. How that works is at before the start of every Winnipeg Jets game, we will suggest or we will announce that entries are now open. You can submit who you think is going to score the game-winning goal. You don't have to choose a Jets player. You could choose an opponent as well. If you choose correctly, you may win tickets to Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, like some of our friends did on Tuesday night after they selected Nikolai Ehlers as the game-winning goal contest winner. So that's going to be before every Winnipeg Jets game. You can follow us along. It's run through our Twitter feed at Illegal Curve, and look for the hashtag ICGWG. Dave, you have a moose winner to announce.
I do. We're going to give it the Saturday solo ticket. Trevor sent me a message. He wants to check out Cole Perfetti and see, probably wants to see David Gustafson and a whole host. The entire defense is all Jets prospects. So Trevor, you're going to be Trevor right there. Trevor is going to be the, I'm going to throw Trevor's comment up. He's not winning for that comment, but Trevor is going to Saturday's game, and I'm going to pick the winner of the tickets for Sunday by the end of the show. But yeah, Trevor's going, he'll be able to see Cole Perfetti. And like I said, a whole host of defensive prospects. Simon Lundmark, by the way, the 2019 second rounder for the Jets.
Oh, here we go. Dave M's Moose Report. We need like a bell to ring for Dave M's Moose Report.
No, but I was just going to say, you know, in the absence of Ville Heinola, who is day-to-day, according to head coach Mark Morrison, he left. Ville had a kind of an interesting situation where kind of collided in between two Grand Rapids players at the blue line in the first period. He came, left the ice, came back, and then didn't play the rest of the game. Mark Morrison said he's day-to-day, said he was dealing with a hamstring situation before he got into the game, and so maybe that flared up. But so Simon Lundmark, who's that right shot second rounder from 2019, stepped up a little bit, played a little bit more, got some power play time. I liked his game. I thought his game was solid. I spoke to assistant coach Eric Dubois, who came out after the game, and we chatted with him. He had a great line about Arvid Holm, who was speaking for the first time. We'd never seen him. He made like a Mikael Burden like play in overtime where he came rushing out of his net on a Grand Rapids breakaway to break it up. But Mike Sawatsky of the Winnipeg Free Press asked him, you know, are you he's an interesting guy. And then Eric Dubois looked back and said to Mike, have you ever met a goalie that's not interesting? Or I've never met a goalie who's not interesting. So Arvid Holm.
Didn't you tell that story on Tuesday's post-game show?
I may have, but, you know, it's a good story.
That's what happens when the Moose don't play between our post-game shows.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, I'm recycling stories. I got to go back to the well. Anyways, point is, there's a lot to – and Johnny Kovacevic stepped up, and he was playing right and left. So a lot of guys that you're going to be able to see. Trevor's going to see him on Saturday, and someone else is going to see them on Sunday. Four tickets to that game at 2 o'clock.
There you go. And you can dress up in the Halloween costume. In fact, if you buy your IC gear and maybe you get a rush delivered, you can dress up as myself, Dave, and Ezzy for the Halloween contest at Sunday's Moose game. I think that's a great idea. I don't think anybody at all will be creeped out or you'll be asked to leave in any which way at all. I saw some comments, some questions coming in about the Kevin Cheval day off situation as it pertains to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Sure.
We're not going to go in depth on it. We went in depth on it on Tuesday's post game show. I'm sure we'll talk about it again on Saturday's Illegal Curve hockey show. If you missed my soliloquy from Tuesday's show, you can go back and catch it in the podcast, or it's on our YouTube page. I believe before I continue, we have to say hi to Jeff listening in New Zealand.
I was going
to
highlight that one too.
There you go. I believe John Chan is here from Singapore. I know we have some people here from British Columbia. Jeff, hello from New Zealand. It's nice. I don't even know what time it is in New Zealand. Is it Friday afternoon at like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in New Zealand, whatever time it is. Thank you for joining us here on the Illegal Curve post game show. Nice to see you, Jeff. We do this after each and every Winnipeg Jets game, as well as Saturday morning in Winnipeg, which would probably be the quick math, well, maybe late Saturday night in or early Sunday morning in New Zealand. So a pleasure to see you here, and Renee from War Road, Minnesota, and of course Stony Mountain. Hope, not sure if that's the jail itself or
we'll forget about Tico Napoli is coming
and
from
Tico Napoli. Yes,
Ticona.
John is here from Perth, Australia, as well. If I saw that as well. So yeah. Yes, we are huge in well, where
John Chan says it's 1:45 p.m. right now
in Singapore.
Yeah.
Or oh, there you go. So, you know, wherever Winnipeg fans are, people want to come here. And in Svech, we trust PLD from Portland, Oregon, Vancouver Island. Phyllis is in Morden. That counts just the same. Nice to see so many of you. We always do appreciate your tremendous support. Apparently, it's 6:45 p.m. On Friday in New Zealand. So, Jeff, let us know the lottery numbers. And we can go see if we can maybe go back in time and win the lottery or something along those lines. In any event, what I wanted to mention is that Kevin Cheveldayoff's meeting was going to be on Monday.
Yeah.
With Gary Bettman. It has now been moved up to tomorrow. He's, my understanding is, he's on his way or already in New York to meet in person with the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman. You know, we will obviously find out where the situation is going to go. You know, I don't know if we're going to find out tomorrow. Maybe we'll find out Saturday morning when we're on the air. It's obviously the
big things tend to happen on a legal curve big, Saturday morning.
Yeah, exactly. Jets news tends to break on Saturday morning. The news from earlier, Joel Quenneville, you know, resigned as head coach of the Florida Panthers. So yeah. His inaction as it pertained to the you know, the tragedy, the scandal in Chicago, rightly cost him his job. I'm on record as saying it should cost Kevin Cheveldayoff his job. Will it? Won't it? I don't know.
It won't.
I'm
prepared to go on the record and saying I don't think it will.
That's fine. I
could be wrong, but I don't. I really don't think it's gonna.
That is completely valid opinion. I think that Kevin Cheveldayoff, or pardon me, Mark Chipman, is going to do everything in his power to prevent it from costing Kevin Cheveldayoff his job. You know, if that is I don't believe that's the right answer. Other people may disagree with me. That's fine. It's a fair, you know, it's a reasonable, or it's a free society where people can disagree without necessarily having to devolve it into personal insults or anything like that. We'll know more. That is basically where we stand. Kevin Cheveldayoff right now is the last member of the executive of the Chicago Blackhawks to not lose his job over this scandal, and we'll find out if that's going to stay that way, or if Kevin Cheveldayoff will indeed no longer be the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. I tend to agree with you, Dave. I do think that it'll end up being, and this is, I don't think this is right, but I do think that he'll end up getting a suspension and a fine or something along those lines. You know, time will tell. We don't need to rehash it in detail again. We've talked about it on Tuesday. You can, like I said, you can check it out. I just tend to agree with you, Dave, that he probably Mark Chipman is going to do everything in his power to prevent Kevin Cheveldayoff from losing his job. And I don't know exactly what that means. And I don't know if that'll be satisfactory to a lot of people, because I get the sense that a lot of people would be unhappy with that decision.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can see it in the social media posts, right? I mean, the Jets social media is like, you know, they can write one thing and then every comment is boom, 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 Chevy, 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 Chevy. So yeah, I mean, look, people are upset, and you know, I mean, you can't not be after watching that interview and hearing those comments. And again, we went over it on the last show, but there's a good reason to be angry, I would suggest.
Well, and you know, just my final thought on it for tonight, and we'll talk about it probably more on Saturday as it happens, and we'll talk about more when the news comes out. I you know, my father was involved in the education system. He was a guidance counselor for many years. And, you know, and I've heard people say, well, the argument that, well, Kevin was just a junior executive in the Blackhawks. He wasn't the head of the Blackhawks. He was he was just a junior executive, and he was told that his senior executives were handling it. And I think about it this way. If I was in the education system, if I was a guidance counselor, and a student came to me and said, this horrendous action has happened. It occurred to me, and this happened. And that student, and then that guidance counselor who received that information went to the administration, he went to the principal, he went to the superintendent, he goes to whomever he goes to, and says, we have this allegation, we have this credible allegation. And then 3 weeks later, that teacher or whomever who's been accused is still there and is seemingly not had any ramifications whatsoever, and has now is attending the graduation dinner and dance. Maybe it's the end of the year, and is reveling in their life while the victim is going through trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be good enough to me that guidance counselor, for example, never followed up or didn't do any more. And that's where I stand as it pertains to Kevin Sheveldayoff.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just, I can't get over that hump. That, and yes, he would be breaking the cone of silence that permeates the NHL. And yes, it would potentially cost him his, you know, future employment or his future in the game or anything like that. But to me, that, you know, there's those forks in the road in your life where you either got to go left and be on the side of the Angels,
mm-hmm.
or you go right and you're not on the side of the Angels. And unfortunately, you know, Kevin Sheveldayoff went right. And to me, and I say this with no ill will towards Kevin Sheveldayoff, because I think ultimately at his core, he's probably a good man. He's never done anything to me. I've never seen him do anything other than that. But unfortunately, in that one instance, he made the wrong decision. And to me, unfortunately, it requires him to no longer be the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets anymore. That's just where that's the lens that I view it through. And that is where I stand on the issue. We will find out sooner rather than later how it pertains, or what the NHL or what True North or what Mark Chipman is going to do about it. But that's where I sat on Tuesday night. You watch Kyle Beach yesterday. I don't know how you can't be impacted by what you saw from Kyle Beach yesterday. And that's where I still stand, sit as the case may be, mm-hmm. tonight.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a charged issue. I've never seen so many people so angry. And again, like I said, the anger is justified. I mean, anytime some sort of trust is broken, you know, there need to be repercussions for that. And so, you know, Will that happen here? I tend not to think. I don't think that there's going to be the way people think there are. And maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. I just think that based on the chain of command, the way it went, and it also sounds like the information that was imparted during that meeting, that was, you know, the nature of that conversation. You know, like I said, I'm not excusing it for the record. I'm just telling you what I think will be the ultimate outcome.
Yeah, as opposed to what giving. Yeah, you're not saying what you think.
I'm not editorializing.
Should happen.
No, I'm not. I'm giving you what I think is. You know, I try and just think about these things logically and think. You know, if the first, second, and third guys there are in charge of that, then is the junior guy in charge? And does he have a responsibility? Well, he has a responsibility, but. Is he going to be seen as someone who's going to be, you know, a fall guy for this incident? Again, I tend to think he probably won't. I think there'll be some sort of repercussion. What that is going to be, I don't know. But I thought based on what we saw with Quenneville, the recommendation after the fact and the comments during, that it wasn't a surprise to me what had happened. But you know, and you know, read Mike McIntyre's article in the Free Press today about, you know, I mean, why, about the way the Jets are going to go to bat for Kevin Sheveldayoff. So my tendency also is to believe that he was forthright with the Jets. My guess would be that he was, you know, candid with Mark Chipman and company about this situation. Because again, I know, with all due respect to us in the media, you know, there's no legal obligation to be honest with the media. So, you know, if you want to put something in legalese and you want to, you know, thread the needle, yeah. You're entitled. And like I said, there's, if you look for certain elements of the statements, you can see where there is wiggle room in his statement to say he wasn't lying,
sure.
You know? But again, like I said,
that's why lawyers draft statements.
That's right. Exactly. And so, you know, ultimately, like I said, I think there'll be enough there for him to be able to get away with not losing his job. But like I said, we'll see tomorrow when he meets with Gary Bettman, and then we'll see what ultimately is the decision from the NHL.
Absolutely. Exactly right. We'll know more tomorrow. The Jets practice tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. There's no morning skate on Saturday, so there's no the pregame availability prior to the game in San Jose, because it's a weird start time. It's a 4 o'clock start time Saturday afternoon in San Jose, 6 o'clock here in Winnipeg. So a bit of a weird time, but they'll practice tomorrow, so we'll hear from Winnipeg Jets players. And of course, all the latest news, all the post-game audio, everything will be available on illegalcurve.com. Dave M, let's end on a high note. Let's give away 4 tickets to Sunday's Halloween Manitoba Moose game.
Well, I was going to give them to Leighton Janis.
Okay.
But something he/she said confused me, because they asked for the tickets, but then they also said that they were moving on Sunday. So Leighton Janis will be the winner of the Moose tickets unless he or she is moving. And then they won't be able to use the tickets unless they want to make their friends and family help them move, and they can go to the Moose game with 3 of them and leave the rest, moving their stuff. So, Leighton Janis, if you can send me an email, dave@illegalcurve, or message me on Twitter, ICDave, you can have 4 tickets, or you can take 2 tickets, and I give someone else 2 tickets. You can let me – Leighton Janis is out then, because they're not going to get him. So, okay, well, then that means we're going to have to open them up to somebody else. I see Dave, or dave@illegalcurve. That's how we had the previous winner. Oh, Tico Napoli. Okay, well, I'm probably going to give Tico Napoli, although Tico Napoli has won an IC shirt when we were giving away merch in the summer. So Tico Napoli, but it's because it's your birthday. Hopefully not a Kenny Weeb, every day is your birthday. we'll hook Tico Napoli up. He'll have to let me know if he wants 2 or 4 tickets. He can bring people for his birthday. He celebrated his birthday at the Moose game. So Tico Napoli can hit me up for an email. And if anybody else wants to hit me up for an email, we'll figure it out. dave@illegalcurve.com. Everyone's going to the Moose game.
I was going to say, Dave's giving away 10,000 tickets to the Moose game on Sunday. But if you didn't win tonight, that's okay, because we have more Moose tickets to give away. Dave M is Crazy Dave's Moose Tickets Emporium is basically what it is here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. On my second screen, I see that Kenny Weeb and Scotty Billick. Not sure what happened to Sean. It might be too late for Sean. It's 5 minutes to 1 a.m. He may have said nuts to this to Kenny. But Kenny and Scott have started up, so we'll send you over to the post-game show. You can check that out on the Kenny and Rennie YouTube page. We thank everybody for joining us tonight. Again, a big shout out to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Bagel Smith, Boston Pizza, our good friends at Seagram's. Did I miss anybody, Dave? It's getting hard for me to keep track of everybody. If I missed anyone, you know who the sponsors of this great show are. We encourage you to support our sponsors, because they make the Illegal Curve Hockey Show a possibility. We thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back Saturday morning. That's tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show again. And then again with the Illegal Curve post-game show on Saturday night following the Jets and the Sharks. If you haven't yet, smash that like button. Do so on your way out. Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to the show. Subscribe to the podcast. Whatever it may be, from Singapore to New Zealand to Perth, Australia. And I think we had people in British Columbia and everywhere in between. We thank you for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. For Dave Manuk, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Until Saturday at 9 a.m., we wish you good night. And good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.